And I'm preaching from Philemon. I'm in 8 through 21 on your calling to do what's good. Remember, Paul wrote Philemon from prison. And in prison, Paul had encountered a runaway slave. Slave's name is Onesimus. Now, the slave belonged to Philemon. And Onesimus ran away as someone perishing in sin, basically, but he became spiritually saved. And Paul's letter was meant to reconcile Onesimus with Philemon according to the love of God. And what Paul was seeking was something good. He's seeking good. And the letter shows that the man Paul was dealing with, Philemon, was known for doing good. He donated his household for church services, something like what we're having here. And his love and his faithfulness toward Christ and Christians was very noteworthy. It was famous, commendable. He sought to do good. Paul also wanted the same love and the same faithfulness, the same goodness, to be shared by Philemon toward Onesimus, this runaway slave. And so I'm going to read from verse 5. The main focus is 8 through 21. I'm going to start at verse 5. You're going to kind of get this sense of this Onesimus-Philemon situation. Paul wrote, "I hear of your love and of the faithfulness which you have toward the Lord Jesus, toward all the saints," that's the set-apart ones, set-apart in Christ, "and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in us for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. And accordingly, though I have enough confidence in Christ to command you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be, in effect, by compulsion, but of your own free will. Because suddenly he was for this reason separated from you for a moment," literally in the Greek for an hour, but it's a figure of speech. "He was for this reason separated from you for a moment, for an hour, that you would have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, brother in Christ, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account." This is Paul the Apostle. "I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Have confidence in your obedience. I am writing to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Your love and faithfulness is for doing good." Let's pray. Father, we do always need to understand our love and our faithfulness and what it's for. And we ask that you build us up, Lord, with your word implanted, that we take it in, becomes part of us, and we live it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So your Christian love, my Christian love, and our faithfulness are our greatest attributes. Now, people can do a lot of things, but love and faithfulness are at the core for pursuing the good that God wants us to do, that God wants you to do. Love and faithfulness. Just think about those two things. It's really very strong. But to make it simple, all this means is that you obey God by the true biblical leading of the Holy Spirit. And to get to the simple process of obeying God by the true biblical leading of the Spirit, there's something else that's just as simple. You must love and be faithful to God and his word, the word. And you might be confused by what it means to be led by the Spirit. I mean, it gets to be kind of a mystical kind of a sounding statement. Live God's new covenant instructions and you're already doing it. It really is what's going on with you. Your body is a temple right now, the Holy Spirit. It's not going out of you. He's there always. And so this is the core of doing good. And the more that you are abiding by his life and his truth, you are being, in a sense, full of the Holy Spirit. All right? Think of it that way. Paul said that he had confidence in Philemon's obedience, knowing he will do even more than what Paul urged. Philemon has the Holy Spirit in him. And Paul's writing this with this confidence that Philemon's going to be obedient, and he's going to do even more, because when it comes to your obedience to God, what it means is you're doing what you learn, and Philemon has learned you are doing God's word. But, and this is very important, you're doing it according to the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You're not called to do these things out of fear. You're not trying to get a reward from God. God wants you to do the good things according to your own free will, working with his will. You do good, but make sure to obey God out of love and faithfulness. And so your job, my job, is not to urge others to do good to please yourself, as if you're like the demander, right? What you're called to do is to encourage, to exhort, to spiritually urge, and you can urge strongly, urge your brothers and sisters to do the same thing, to obey God out of love and faithfulness that they are responsible for. And you see, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they usually know what to do. Paul said, I have enough confidence in Christ to command you to do what is proper, but for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Now think about that. Philemon probably encountered Onesimus at the same time that this letter was handed to him. Tychicus is this guy that delivered the letter. And maybe Tychicus explained why Onesimus was with him. Maybe Onesimus went up and started talking first. I mean, we don't know. But the need for Philemon to quickly read the letter would have made a lot of sense, right? And it's hard to imagine that Onesimus or Tychicus could say much to match Paul's inspired appeal on behalf of Onesimus. Tychicus and Onesimus may have been instructed not to say very much. So Philemon started reading this letter from the renowned apostle that's being persecuted for Christ. He's in prison, and he notices that Paul makes this appeal for Onesimus, this runaway slave. And Philemon sees that Paul knew of Philemon's obedience to Christ, of his love and being faithful toward Christ and his people, and he knows that Paul knows all these good things about him, and he's also just knowing he's being reminded, right? And so Philemon is expected to know that Paul's urging to be led by the Spirit and doing what is proper is also a good thing. It's the best thing. And the urging is very strong, but here's the thing. It's not a command. Paul reminded Philemon that he could command Philemon to do what is proper. Isn't that interesting? If there are proper things to do, well, there are improper things that Philemon could do. So when the necessity for something proper must be done, commanding it to be done is not very unreasonable. Actually, it's often helpful. But Paul did not command it. He knew Philemon has the Holy Spirit. He knew Philemon had been discipled, that he knew God's word, that what is proper is anything that manifests the fruit of the Spirit in the love and the faithfulness. He has the track record. And so Paul is thinking the principle. Do what's proper according to what you already know to do. And it doesn't matter if Paul has the authority, because he does, to command Philemon to do it. The important thing for you, for me, is to follow the Spirit by working with God's word, his word. And there's many, many reasons for that. Paul did not want obedience to Paul. You know, if I'm preaching and I'm telling you the word of God and expounding, I'm not wanting you to be obedient to me. Don't try to get someone to obey like they're obeying you. That's not what you're called to do. Paul did not want Philemon to receive back Onesimus to make Paul happy. Don't try to get another Christian to manifest love and faithfulness to God in his ways to make you happy. That's some kind of weird spiritual self-centeredness. It's weird. Paul did not want Philemon to receive back Onesimus to bolster his religious pride. Paul doesn't want Philemon to receive back Onesimus thinking that he's going to gain merit points with God. Doesn't want Philemon to receive back Onesimus like Onesimus will be in debt to Philemon from now on. No. Paul wants to see the fruits of the Spirit that Philemon was already showing to others. And that's all you're looking for. Fruits of the Holy Spirit in yourself and other people. But Paul was known for ordering others to manifest those fruits. Yeah, he was known for that. And he did it knowing that he was speaking the word of God. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And in Ephesians 4:17, it says that Paul said that he insisted that they do those things, that he follow his order. Well, evidently those Christians there in Ephesus needed the order to manifest the love of Christ in those ways as part of their discipleship. The strong urging. They needed the word of God, which was, by the way, the Ephesians letter that was written to them. That's the word of God. Thessalonian Christians needed to be commanded. They needed to be reminded of their orders. 1 Thessalonians 4:2 says, "You know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's Paul said that. So Philemon was already doing these basic love and faith things, and you know what God wants from you. And so the urging is a reminder. Remember that God wants you to be consistent with the good. Philemon needed to make up his mind to be consistent. We all need to make up our mind, be consistent. This is what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. When you already know God's word, then doing what is proper is a matter of doing everything according to it. You're obeying the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you need to be urged by other Spirit-led Christians to do what you know to do. Or maybe it's something you didn't know you have to do, but you got to be urged, right? And you know Christ Jesus' commandment already. Love your brothers and sisters as Christ loves you. And you know that you got to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving just as God in Christ forgives you. Yes. You already learned it from God's word. And since you already know, what are you doing? How are you going about it? What are you doing about it when one of those people turns up in your life and turns into a surprise offender in your life? Think about that. We all know what this is, right? Surprise package people who hurt you are going to pop into your life. They're going to come. They'll surprise you, but they're coming. And it's just a matter of when. And when it happens, the Spirit wants you to consistently do good. You got to be consistent. Don't wrestle with it. You know, do what you know God wants you to do. Show love and faithfulness to the fullest extent. This is your urging from the Holy Spirit. And this is God's word. And writing this letter, Paul was also writing the word of God, see? And so what we're getting is God breathed scripture speaking to us when we get into Philemon, this personal letter that he has with Philemon. And we got these principles. And yet it's not a command to Philemon. It's a strong appeal to Philemon. It's still an imperative that Paul expected to happen. Okay, so follow this. This is the way we are supposed to deal with the real biblical principles that we find for our own selves. So like Paul said in verse 6, that Philemon's effective manifestation of love and faithfulness was for Christ Jesus' sake. Here in verse 9, Paul appealed to Philemon to act from the changed heart for love's sake. So you got Christ Jesus' sake, love's sake. And this is how you're supposed to relate to new covenant revelation for what you do. Live what you learn by doing it because of the purest goodness of it. Doing it for the Lord in Christian love. And this shows, by the way, that you have a kind of freedom. You have free choice. But you have it while in bondage to Christ your Lord. And this is the person, Christ, that you have been set free from bondage to sin and death to become a slave of him. So Paul appealed to Philemon's ability to control what he did by his own free choices. And this is what it means when he said, "Without your consent, I, Paul, did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say." So, once you have the facts, the Holy Spirit places the responsibility upon you to freely choose to act properly in love and in faithfulness, in obedience to Christ Jesus. And so, your goodness, like Philemon, the goodness to exercise your own free will, is the goodness that's in you already. Yeah, it's you have the goodness. Never say that you have an excuse not to do these things, not to be consistent. I mean, you can try to give your reasons, but those reasons are not excuses excusing anything. You are always free to share the goodness that's in you, and you must make it become purposefully effective for others. When surprise package people take you off guard, you have the readiness in you, okay? But your job is to open the door and let it out. And you got to choose the Christian way with your free will. And the problem people of your past, those are just as important. If you're harboring unforgiveness and contempt and ongoing rejection towards someone, God's word has already been talking to you about it. You already have the urging of the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart. And by your own free will, then, tap into what your Lord has told you about the love and the faithfulness way with whoever it is. And this goes for marriages, work situation, children with parents, parents with children, anybody. Philemon had no excuse to try to choose not to do this. He's like you. He's a new creation. You're not in bondage to sin anymore. And what's so amazing about what you have is that you're only free in Christ because you were in bondage to Christ. You know, you were free because you are a slave. You've been set free from the spiritual slavery of the sin that all unsaved people experience in the curse of Adam. And as slaves of sin, unsaved people freely choose, but here's the clincher. They freely choose according to their slavery to sin. Therefore, their choices are tainted by sin. But as slaves of righteousness, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6-8, we Christians freely choose, but we always freely choose according to our slavery to Christ Jesus. So get this right. When you read about something called will, the word will, like in the Bible, you're not reading about something that God made that is like something separate from you. Sometimes people start referring to the will as something separate from themselves, like it's a generator or an emanation or it's a spirit or there's something like that. No, no. A will is not something that has chains on it. A will is not something that is in you that chooses. Why is that? Because the will is the choice. Will is just determination. It's the same word. Will, choice, and determination, it's all the same thing. So will is not a thing that is somehow in bondage itself. You got to follow this. And it's not a capacity either. You know, sometimes there's definitions of will and people will call it a capacity. No, it's not a capacity. When you choose something, it's more than your capacity to choose. It's actually choosing. And all this is so very important because biblically, in every single instant that will is used, it's in respect to choice and determination. So when Paul speaks of Philemon loving and he's being faithful to Onesimus of your own free will, Paul means love and be faithful to others according to your own free choice, freely determined from your freedom from bondage to sin to do it. And be aware that it can go another way. Because you are free from sin's bondage, but you can still freely choose to sin. And so in like manner, now by the Spirit, according to the Word, don't use your freedom to sin. Use your freedom to choose to do good. Choose to be consistent. That's the big word here. Inconsistency is something that all Christians have to deal with. And if you are inconsistent, you need to get back to God's directions. You need to adjust. You need to get back on course to where your only compulsion driving your actions is the conviction of the Holy Spirit to do what is proper. And this consistent way from you is meant to be toward all Christians. You should be showing no partiality. Philemon's way was consistent with all Christians. Paul even added here, accept Onesimus as you would me, Paul. Wow. So here's the thing. There's a temptation that's trying to snare you all the time. And what this temptation is this. It's making distinctions between your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you take that bait, you will show grace, forgiveness, and love, but for certain Christians while ignoring others. That's how the snare works. And so here's the thing. We've all been wronged. You know what it's like to be hurt by others, right? We all do. Come on. You can probably think of an example in your life right now being hurt by someone, by another Christian. And these examples, what they are crossroads decision-making tests for being consistent in doing good. God told you that love, faithfulness, forgiveness, kindness, and all the other fruits of the Holy Spirit are not only meant for the people that you particularly like, the ones you're friends with, the ones you like. But here's the thing. There is a billboard with false advertising posted at the crossroads. And it's trying to tell you that godly ways are only meant for those that you never have disagreements with. It's for the people you like. And yet, you know all your godly ways are meant for that Christian that you don't want to have anything to do with because God, the Holy Spirit, tells you so. And you know those fruits of the Holy Spirit are meant for the unlovely. What is the unlovely? They're only unlovely if you made them unlovely in your own heart, your own mind.
Amen.
You see, there is no excuse, and there's consistency is at the crossroads. Because God is not labeling them to be unlovely. You are. Unlovely people are those Christians that someone thinks has wronged and hurt them in some way that is unforgivable. Well, you're not listening to the Lord if you think that's true. But next to the false advertisement at the crossroads, there's a true sign of guidance, and it's posted there. And it says, you need to go the way of the apostle. Receive whoever it is, as Paul said, like you're receiving Paul the apostle. Do that, and you've chosen the right direction. And believe God's sovereign hand is operating in your life and the whole thing. This is so important. You need to think of the problem person's existence in your life as a divine appointment. How many of you do that? If you're not, you need to start doing that. When Paul said, perhaps the reason Onesimus was separated from you for a moment was so that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, but now as a dearly loved brother, Paul meant the reason for the separation comes from God who ordains the reason. This is huge stuff. When we start talking about the sovereignty of God and all that stuff, it's hard to understand. But woven into that statement, the Greek word for separated is what is called a divine passive in theology. And what it means, it's a verb describing God as the divine agent who actively separated Onesimus from Philemon by his sovereign will. But Onesimus ran away, you say. Yeah, he did. But that's just the way it works with God. It's called concurrence. I don't understand how it all works, but it's God does. And what this verb governs is what is called a purpose clause. So God's reason, it goes beyond earthly reasons that Onesimus ran away. It also weaves into his return, everything. And so Paul, what he's doing in just this one little personal letter, he's laying out one ultimate reality after another. That's why I love these kinds of things. You know, the purpose of the action of separation was always meant by God to save Onesimus through the ministry of Paul the Apostle, who's in prison. And then for Onesimus to be restored to Philemon forever as an everlasting brother in Christ who's completely equal spiritually in all ways. God is working this way in your own life with others. Don't ever think he's not. He is. It's classic. And this kind of God activity was made evident with Joseph in the Old Testament. Now, Joseph's brothers, they sinfully sold Joseph into slavery. You might know about what happened, about the story. You know, Joseph, he spent a long, long, harsh time. He was a slave in Egypt, treated like a dog. He went through difficulties, thrown in prison. Ultimately, Joseph was enabled by God to miraculously interpret dreams for Pharaoh. And as a result, Joseph found favor in Pharaoh's eyes. And after years of humbling, wearisome slavery, Joseph was promoted to the most powerful leader over Egypt next to Pharaoh. Years later, Joseph's brothers, they go to Egypt because of a famine, and events show that the way of God I'm talking about is there in that relationship, and it's in your relationship with others. It's the same thing. Those brothers ended up meeting with Joseph. This is God's sovereign hand. This is how he works. And Genesis 45, 4 through 5 says this. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. They didn't recognize him. So he drops this bomb on them. They're before him. He's this powerful guy. They're afraid of him. I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Then he says this. Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, because God sent me before you to preserve life. Well, Joseph proclaimed God's sovereign work in much the same way that Paul proclaimed it in the life of Onesimus being separated from Philemon and then bringing him back. There's that other relationship consistency. Joseph showed love and grace toward his family, even though they had done him so horribly wrong beforehand. So Joseph did what? Good. And he's being consistent. But there's more. In Genesis 45, 6 through 7, Joseph said this. The famine is going to be 7 years and will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. So Joseph said God did this. And he did it for God's own reasons. So when Joseph expressed faith and love toward his brothers, what's he doing it for? God's sake, just like Paul's saying. And so God is showing you that he uses all events for ultimate grace purposes forever. But there's more. Joseph continued in Genesis 45:8. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Well, they're the ones that sold him into slavery. You see God's sovereign hand? He just says it. It's not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and master of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Joseph's the one who had the sharp mind. He's the one that was now basically the Pharaoh. So again, God's working. And he's been working all along with the relationships in your life. Just like he worked in the life of Onesimus. Just like he worked in Philemon's life. And just like he was working with Paul. Look and see it with spiritual eyes. See him take what was previously despised and lift it to a place of honor. God took spiritually dead, physically offensive, and lowly Onesimus, lifted him up and made him a part of the body of Christ. And we were all that way. You were that way. Messed up slaves of sin, children of disobedience. The evil spirit of the world was at work in you, like it says in Ephesians 2:2. But God saved you, making you equal with all his people who all have the Holy Spirit of God working in them. Well, Joseph went on in Genesis 45:9 and he said this. He said, hurry, go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me master of all Egypt. And in Genesis 50:20, he said this, as for you, this is the most famous passage. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. And so the lesson is to be consistent with how you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ. You want what God means for it, which is good, right? But consistency has requirements for the good to happen. Love and faithfulness often requires self-sacrifice. Amen. It often requires self-sacrificial giving. Paul was willing to have anything charged to his own account. Isn't that interesting? Paul also laid out what he wanted from Philemon. He said, let me, Paul, benefit from you. He said, refresh my heart in Christ. He said, I know that you will do even more than what I say. Paul, the apostle, had to step out of his comfort zone. Philemon had to step out of his comfort zone. This consistency for good means giving. It means give. And then what? Give. And then what? Give and give some more. You have to step out of your comfort zone. It's consistency. Could be your time. Could be your money. Could be your effort. Something. But love and faithfulness means giving. You have to give. That's how people get it from you. So God's word has directed all of us, me too, you. We have been reminded of what God has already told us to do. You are free to choose the good way, so do it. Be consistent with all Christians. Don't show partiality. Be ready for the test to come. Remember the crossroads. You're going to have to die to selfish inclinations. You're going to have to give from your life. Rise to the occasion. Ignore the snares of the crossroad. Consistency is what erases the false advertisement. Shine bright for the Lord Jesus, applying love and faithfulness, and do what is good. Amen? That's the word. That's the word of God.